this music in the background as I'm leaving church. You must open the door. I'm going, well, way to go, Bobby Jo Davis. She chose that to. And so, I don't know, do you remember this song? How many of you know this song? Oh, I think four of us here. Well, you may learn a new song, but I had to, I think that'll be a cool introduction. It's a very simple song. It goes like this. You must open the door. You must open the door. When Jesus comes in, he will save you from sin. But you must open the door. You got it now. Good introduction, because we are in this series called Open Doors, and we've been talking about the doors of opportunity that God has opened for each and every one of us that are right there in front of us. And this series is based on a text from Revelation 3 verse 8 that simply says, and this is God speaking now, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I have placed before you, before all of us, an open door. Open doors are exciting and frightening at the same time, because we don't know what's on the other side of the door. And if we walk through doors that are open in front of us, we don't know what the future will hold, because none of us have a crystal ball. And for some reason, this week, I was thinking about an open door that presented itself to me many, many years ago, and wondering what my life would have been different if the door would have been different that I walked through. It was 1978. And I had just graduated from the theological seminary at Andrews University, Michigan. If you don't know what a seminary is, that's where pastors go to school to get to be pastors. And so I graduated there with a master's degree, and I was going to head back to California. I had been sponsored by the Northern California Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. We happened to be in the Northern California Conference. It's a conference that goes from about Manteca, below Lodi, all the way up to Crescent City. Large, large area. Northern California Conference. And so the Northern California Conference, while I was going to Pacific Union College, had chosen me to be in their conference. And that's the conference I wanted to work in, because I had spent most of my life living in Northern California. So I'm sponsored by Northern, and I receive a letter in the mail somewhere close to the time that I'm graduating from the seminary, and I'm going to head back to California. Of course, I'm dying to know, which church am I going to end up in? And this particular letter says, the Pastoral Placement Committee has decided that we are going to send you to the Auburn Church. Now, if you know where Auburn is, it's in the foothills of the Sierra. It's gold country. It's above Sacramento there. And so I was going to go to the Auburn Church. And I had a wonderful experience there in all, because this crazy thing happened. I went back there as the senior pastor later. So in all, I was there for almost 10 years. So Auburn was a great place. It's in the foothills. It's a beautiful spot. But I didn't know until a number of years later the story behind the story of how I ended up in Auburn. It goes something like this. There were two of us who were graduating from the seminary, a gentleman named Ed Allen and myself. And the pastoral placement committee had met, and they decided that they were going to send me to the Ukiah Adventist Church, and that Ed Allen was going to be sent to the Auburn Church. Now, I would have been very glad to go to the Ukiah Church. At that point in time, Nell Lane's, our very own Nell Lane, her brother, Arvin Winkle, was the pastor there. And Arvin was a great, seasoned, wonderful, loved pastor, and I would have been pleased to work with him. I would have learned a lot. But when this committee was deliberating and they had made their decisions, at the very last moment, someone brought up, well, Ed's mom is a member of the Auburn Church. Oh, well, we don't want to put him where his mom is. Mom discrimination, right? And so they switched us at the very last moment. And so I ended up at Auburn, and Ed ended up at Ukiah. I didn't know that at the time. And so I was thinking about this week, and I go, I wonder if my life would have taken any different, because that door opened, and that was the door that I was going to walk through. But none of us know what doors are in front of us. And it's going to be interesting when we get to heaven and talk to our guardian angel and talk to God and find out that there were a number of doors that wisen the road, if you please, and it could have gone this way, and it could have gone this way, and for some reason we ended up this way, and we maybe wondered what would happen if we took this Y in the road. We are not in charge of which doors open for us. Have no control over that. We don't even have any control over what is behind the doors that are open to us that we're going to walk through. But there is one aspect of going through doors that we have control over. And that is, we choose how we will go through an open door. How we will go through an open door. One of the most loved American presidents was, you didn't expect me to say Donald Trump, did you? One of the most loved American presidents was Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt was an amazing guy. And if you read anything about him, he just never did anything half-heartedly. He did things wholeheartedly. If he was in on something, he was all in. In fact, a historical writer named Doris Goodwin described his exuberance, his joyful exuberance, and the way he lived his life like this. He danced just as you'd expect him to dance if you knew him, being so exuberant. In fact, he hopped. He hopped. Now, when we walk, it's one step at a time. But when we hop, it's two steps at a time. And it involves our whole body in a very different way than just walking. So Teddy Roosevelt was described as hopping. That was his exuberance. He did things wholeheartedly. Hopping is something that kids do. Us adults don't hop enough. We don't. In fact, but adults sometimes do. If we're on the winning team at the World Series or the Super Bowl, we would probably hop. Yeah! Hopping is something that affects our entire body. If we're going to go through a door, we ought to go through an open door, not tentatively, but like Teddy Roosevelt would go, wholeheartedly, maybe even with a hop. Now, there's a special Bible word, and I've already revealed it too many times, but there's a special Bible word that is used in the Old Testament, at least as it's translated by the New International Version. And this particular special word describes how we are supposed to go through doors. And that word is wholehearted. Wholehearted. When you go to the Old Testament, you find again and again and again this concept brought out. Let me give you a survey, a sampling. 2 Kings 23, with wholehearted devotion. 1 Chronicles 28, 9, with wholehearted devotion. 1 Chronicles 29, 19, with wholehearted devotion. Isaiah 38, 3, with wholehearted devotion. There's more to come. Numbers 32, 12 says, they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Joshua 14, 8, and 9 says, they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Psalms 119, 80, David says, may I wholeheartedly follow your decrees. And catch this one, Numbers 14, 24. Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. To be wholehearted is to be completely committed. It's to be all in. It's not to be lazy, it's to be ambitious, it's to give us our all. It is to have our heart in it, a whole heart, all-out effort. Now, you'll never hear a sports coach giving a speech to his players and says, I expect you to give 80% today in the big game. You'll never hear that. You won't hear a boss telling an employee, I expect you to work 4/5 of a day. Give me a good 4/5 of a day of good solid work. And you won't hear wedding vows stated like this. I promise to be faithful to you a good chunk of the time. Never hear that. Wholeheartedness is described in that ancient hymn, the Hokey Pokey. Have you heard of this hymn? You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Now you're saying, what does that have to do with wholehearted? The last verse. You put your whole self in, you put your whole self out, you put your whole self in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your whole self in. I would venture that there's not a pastor in the universe that is going to sing the Hokey Pokey song during his sermon today. Some of you are still in shock. The only way to go through God's open doors is wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, with all our heart. Very interesting story in the Old Testament that is tragic. 2 Chronicles 25, 1 and 2 says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. Oh, that's disappointing. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but, however, he did not do it wholeheartedly. Amaziah believed in God. He served God. He led his nation in the worship of the true living God. But he didn't do it with wholeheartedness, with his whole heart. He didn't do it all out. He held back. Now contrast that with what is said about King David from Acts 13, 22. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. This is God speaking, ladies and gentlemen. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. He will do everything I want him to do. David was called a man after God's own heart. That was the claim that God made about David. This David fellow is a man after my own heart. which can be a little bit confusing for those of us who know about this character, David. Because he was guilty of adultery, murder, and bold-faced lying. He is a train wreck as a husband, and even worse as a father. However, his heart belongs to God, and he wholeheartedly worships and follows God with all his heart, with all his energies. When David led the return of the ark to Israel, the Bible describes his wholeheartedness like this, and some of you will need to hold on to your false teeth. Then David danced before the Lord. Maybe what I did earlier in the sermon wasn't so out of character anyway. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. He danced before the Lord with all his might. And if you're wondering what that dance might have been like, in two verses later in verse 16, it describes King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. Maybe he even danced like Teddy Roosevelt. Maybe he even hopped. God would have us be wholehearted believers, wholehearted followers, wholehearted people. In fact, the Bible teaches that wholehearted behavior is the way that we should live our lives. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I've kind of tried to follow this principle in my own life. If you're exercising, do it with all your might. If you're eating, do it with all your might. If you're sleeping, do it with all your might. If you're serving God, do it with all your might. If you're a dad or a mom, be an all your might parent. In your profession, on your job, do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do everything wholeheartedly. And that applies to going through doors that God has opened for us. Do it wholeheartedly and don't look back. So I ask, what describes our relationship with God and his kingdom? No-hearted, that's the low one. Barely-hearted, getting a little better, but not good. Half-hearted or whole-hearted? Our prayer life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how's your prayer life doing? Prayer is the breath of the soul. Jesus didn't do anything without praying. Prayer life, no-hearted, barely-hearted, half-hearted, or whole-hearted? How about getting scripture in our lives? No-hearted, barely-hearted, half-hearted, or whole-hearted? How about our relationship with our church? No-hearted, barely-hearted, half-hearted, or whole-hearted? How about giving of ourselves, volunteering, serving the Lord Jesus Christ in our church to make a difference for the kingdom, using our gifts and whatever abilities God has given us? No-hearted, barely-hearted, half-hearted, or whole-hearted? How about the giving of our finances? we're talking about stewardship in our Sabbath school quarterly. How about that? When the giving of our finances to participate in the advancing of the kingdom in our church. What's the description there? No-hearted, barely-hearted, half-hearted, or whole-hearted? Our spiritual lives, what are they? No-hearted, barely-hearted, half-hearted, or whole-hearted? We don't get to choose what doors present themselves to us. I didn't choose I was going to Auburn Church and not Ukiah. It kind of happened. That was the door. My dad told me once, and I didn't know this at the time, and this was years ago, but when I was in high school at Real Endo Academy, my father got an invitation to be the ministerial director of the Michigan Conference. My dad was a pastor, and he was invited to come back there, and it would have been a nice position for him. He grew up in Michigan, and I didn't even know that. And he said, I decided against that, and the main reason was because you and your sister Sharon were in school, and I didn't want to interrupt what was going on there. And I didn't even know about this, and I was thinking, well, if I grew up in Michigan, or at least was as a high school-aged young man, my life would have been completely different. I would have probably gone to Andrews University for college instead of Pacific Union College. I would have met different people. I wouldn't have ended up as a pastor in the Northern California Conference. It would have been a different conference, probably back in Michigan. Wow. Open doors. They can really affect our lives. I didn't have anything to do with the door, and neither do you have anything to do with the doors that are open to you. We don't have control over that. But there's one aspect of going through a door that we have control of. And that is how we do it. I have no idea the doors that are presented to you. For each of us, it's different. But I think that the doors that are open to us, that are God's will and something that's going to enhance our relationship with God, that our response needs to be, ladies and gentlemen, wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness. Whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Loving Father, help us to be wholehearted believers. We hold back so much. You want us to be all in. You want us just like Hokey Pokey says, to put our whole self in. Lord, we want to serve you totally with our entire being. Lord, send your spirit in us to create a deeper desire that we do that. Lord, we choose to be wholehearted believers. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is worthy, who makes sense for us to give ourselves to. I ask this in his name. Amen.